Some brief remarks. For the past 3 weeks, we have been looking at the opening words of the Gospels. Matthew's Gospel opening with this genealogy that grounds Jesus' birth in the historical record of the Jewish people. Mark's focus on how the prophet John the Baptist prepares us to welcome the coming Messiah. And then Luke's desire to compose an orderly account of the most important story ever communicated by men and women of faith. Today, on the fourth week of Advent, we will hear John's familiar opening words that point back to creation and point forward into eternity itself. But with John's prologue to the Gospel, there's always the challenge of how to read them. Shall I assume a professorial voice and read the opening lines as if starting a philosophy lecture? In the beginning was the Word, in Greek logos, meaning word or speech. In Aristotle, it meant reason, discourse, but later with the Stoics, it came to mean a divine animating principle, the ground of all being. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things came into being through this logos. Or should the passage be read with an overly dramatic preacher's voice, stretching and stressing that the focus on the here and now is binding us to a place, but it blinds us to the eternal place? In the beginning, from the dawn of creation, was the Word, God's will, God's law, God's immutable desire that all life will bear fruit for the final harvest. And that Word was with God, and the Word was God, and not one thing came into being without Him. Do I read the opening of John's Gospel so that you can capture it in an artistic way? That you can see the blank canvas upon which these rich, vibrant words have been painted over the centuries? Or do I read the words quietly, thoughtfully, like a meditation or a prayer, allowing them to sink into your own spirit and take their form there? Even as I ask these questions about John's Gospel, I'm aware that other words have already been spoken in today's service, words that all come from a special man, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor and teacher, who struggled to speak words of faith during the dark season of Nazism and Hitler's rise to power. Bonhoeffer was a martyr of our faith who died in a concentration camp because of prophetic words spoken and acts of resistance done. He's perhaps best known for emphasizing the difference between cheap grace and costly grace. Bonhoeffer recognized that grace comes to us from a generous God, but that the activity of grace in our lives means that we are transformed by it. He wrote, "It would be wrong for us Christians to simply live like the rest of the world, to model ourselves on the world standards in every sphere of our lives, to never aspire to live a different life under the grace that frees us from our old life under sin. That perspective would be a cheap grace sold in the marketplace, where sacraments and the forgiveness of sins and the consolation of religion are thrown away at bargain prices. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without a cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. Costly grace is a grace that must be sought again and again, the gift which must be asked for, the door which must be knocked upon. Costly grace is the treasure that's hidden in the field for which we gladly go and sell all of our possessions that we might possess it. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow, but it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It's costly because it may cost us our life, our security, our comfort. But it's grace because it gives to us the only true life. It's costly because it calls us to submit to the yoke of Christ and to follow Him. But it is grace nonetheless, because we are reminded Christ's yoke is easy and my burden is light. Bonhoeffer lived in serious times. He wanted us to take faith seriously. The short passage I read earlier spoke how Jesus, the Son of God, was born for us, how we are His and He is ours, and our very life now depends on all these things, and that this child has our life in His hands. If we desire to be the sole master of our lives, then those words fill us with fear. But if we desire to let go, to surrender our attempts at self-determination and self-mastery, then those words can give us tremendous joy. The child has our life in His hands. We are not alone. We are not at the mercy of our own fears, our own demons, our own struggling efforts to get things right, precisely at a time in history when so much seems to be wrong. For to us, a child has been born. A child has been placed at the center of history, and everything past and everything future is encompassed in that moment. To understand that, even feebly, is to be set free. It is to choose life. It is to receive costly grace. And that, my friends, is the secret of joy. So let Bonhoeffer's words of joy carry over to John's Gospel, and hear those words anew today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. And without Him, not even one thing came into being. And what has come into being in Him was life. And the life was the light of all people. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law was indeed given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And no one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made God known. Amen.